I have two passages of scripture that I'm going to read for you today as a background for my message on anniversary 1970, our 16th year in business for God. The first is found in Psalm chapter 11, and it is verse 3. The second is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. Perhaps you noted that there's an 11 and a 3 in both passages. Psalm 11 and verse 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. While you're finding those passages of Scripture, may I say again that it is our joy to have you in the services today, the 16th anniversary, a time of rejoicing. If we had time to recount all the blessings that God has given us, I'd love to do it today. But then I think that you have come to hear the Word of God, and I think the reading of the Scriptures and the preaching of God's Word is the most important part of any service. I've said it many times before. I think it bears repeating. You can always find a substitute for the preacher, but you can't find a substitute for preaching. We're going to read these two verses after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for what this day means to us individually and personally as the pastor of this great church. We thank Thee for what it means for our charter members and our former pastor. We thank Thee that we believe today that those who have gone out of this congregation through death into the heavenly world can rejoice with us, as they, as it were, look over the battlements of glory and see those things that cause not only our hearts but theirs to rejoice today. But Heavenly Father, we know that there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And so may the Holy Spirit bring conviction to the hearts of those who are without the Savior today. For those who need to make a decision of church membership or of reaffirming their faith in these cardinal doctrines of Thy Word, may they come today to do it, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now Psalm 11 and verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I ask you again in the words of the psalmist, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The most important part of any building is the foundation upon which it rests. Ask any school child, almost anyone knows that the Empire State Building, which is the tallest building in the world, rises 102 stories above the ground. But how many of us know that it goes 5 stories below the ground to have a solid foundation upon the bedrock that it might rest? There's an interesting story told by the master storyteller in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus tells the story about two men, two builders, two men who were builders who went out to build. And Jesus said one of these men built his house upon the sand. And the rains fell and the storms came and the winds blew and that house fell because it was built upon the sands. But then Jesus said there was a wise builder. Thank God for wise builders. Thank God for those who laid the foundation of this church. I'm talking about the spiritual foundation now. Jesus said the wise builder went out to build his house and that he built his house upon the rock. And the rains fell and the storms came and the winds blew. But the house stood because it was built upon a rock. The Lord's our rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure and save from wrath and make me pure. Beloved, you best not build your house upon the sands of materialism or the sands of idealism or humanism, because the storms are coming. You may not have been faced with the storms of life yet, but they're out there, they're coming. The clouds are already on the horizon and the storms are about to break. Your life can only stand if it is built upon the solid rock, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. What better time than anniversary day for us to take a second look at our foundation. For us to reaffirm our faith in the unchanging principles of Christianity, whose head and whose founder is Christ. You know the difference between Christianity and all other religions? Christ. And my, what a difference that makes. My message is simply entitled, Here I Stand. On this foundation, on this rock I stand. A great preacher tells a story about a bus trip that he and his wife made through the mountain country a few years ago. A sightseeing tour. And they stopped at one of the mountain stops and they saw a woman who was in every sense of the word a mountaineer. Looked like she had never been any place else in all the world but where she was. The preacher's wife leaned over to him and said, Honey, I don't believe she knows what's going on in the outside world. And the preacher said, For God's sake, don't tell her. Sometimes I wish that we didn't know about all the poverty and all the woe and all the heartache and all the misery and all the war that's going on in the world today. But how can we remain silent in a world like this? For when I look around at the world, I am prone to think that our world has become a madhouse and an asylum that is run by its inmates. Such is the situation and the condition in our world today. I make no apologies for the fact that I am an American by birth. I am a Christian by second birth. And I am a Baptist by conviction. Therefore, I do not appreciate at all the powers that be that are trying to reduce everybody in the world to one faceless, colorless, classless mass of humanity. I am tired of the so-called new morality that throws the Ten Commandments out the window and operates by situation ethics. I am tired of seeing college and seminary professors brainwashing young students into disbelieving the Word of God. I am tired of seeing our American flag dragged through the mud and the rabble-rousers and rebels in the street who are trying to tear down the establishment that gave them the freedom to speak and everything that they have. I'm tired of hearing people call sin just a sickness. I'm tired of all the solutions that are being put forth by the experts who have not learned yet what the problem is. I am tired of the computers doing all of our thinking for us and reducing us to nothing more than mere robots in the world. I'm tired of the hodgepodge that our educational system has degenerated to in the 20th century. When I think about the hodgepodge of the educational system, I'm reminded of the fellow who said, "I don't eat hash away from home because I don't know what's in it." And then he went on to admit, "I don't eat hash at home because I do know what's in it." We are teaching our children and our young people how to make a living, but we are failing miserably in teaching them how to make a life, which is far more important. And in the 20th century, we have learned how to lengthen life. People are living longer than they've ever lived. I say we've learned how to lengthen life, but we've never learned yet the secret of deepening life. I want something that is certain. I want something I can cling to. I want something that is true. I want something that is absolute. I want a religion that I can feel 6 inches below my collarbone. I want a religion that is good enough for me to live by and will do when I am dying. That's what I want today. And I am happy to report to you that in the midst of a world of confusion, there is order in the Christian faith. In the midst of a world of neither nor, there are still some either ors around. In the midst of a world of uncertainties, there are some absolutes. I think that Martin Luther, the great reformer, spelled out some absolutes when he hanged his 95 theses upon the door. And said, "Here I stand, so help me God, I will not recant." I want to share with you on Anniversary Sunday some of the foundation stones upon which I stand. Here I stand on this foundation. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, every word of it. I don't understand all of it, nor do I understand the principle of aerodynamics, but I don't walk across the country. I take an airplane. I don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk, but I haven't stopped eating beef nor drinking milk. I don't understand the principle of electricity, but I don't sit around in the dark. I don't understand all there is in the Word of God, but I believe it. Every word of it. Well, I know it's been attacked by many, many people. The Word of God has been butchered and burned and buried. But here's the amazing thing. It has always come back to life to outlive those who preached its funeral. On this rock I stand. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe in the account of the virgin birth, just like Luke says it. There are those who argue, if the virgin birth is really true, why does only Luke record it? Number one, Luke is not the only one. But if Luke were the only one who recorded the virgin birth, how many times does God have to say anything to make it true? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and upon that rock I stand on this 16th anniversary. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I do not believe that he came to this world just as a mere teacher or an example. or someone to die as a martyr for a good cause. I believe that Jesus Christ came as the Lamb of God to die for sin, for my sin. And you know, the greatest problem in all the world today is sin, and Jesus Christ is the only one who can handle it. And all of the problems in the world today are related to sin. Now, you're not going to hear anybody get up in Congress and say sin is the great problem in the world today. You won't hear anybody in the United Nations say that sin is the international problem. You won't hear it in the universities or laboratories of science. You won't hear it in the capitals of the world. But you're going to hear it now. Sin is the greatest problem that faces man today. And only Jesus Christ can handle it. You see, in all these other places, they're talking about sweeping out the cobwebs when they need to kill the spider. And the spider is sin, and only Jesus Christ can handle the problem of sin. On this rock I stand. On this foundation, I make my stand today. I believe that Jesus Christ rose bodily from the grave. I'm not serving a ghost. I'm not serving an inanimate object. Jesus Christ could have appeared to Herod or Pilate, or he could have had a demonstration in Jerusalem, which would have been the sensation of the years. But Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples. If Jesus had appeared to Herod and Pilate, you and I probably never would have known anything about him, humanly speaking. But he appeared to his disciples and said to them, "You are going to be my witnesses all over the world." I believe that Jesus Christ arose from the grave with a literal body. Amen. And on this rock I make my stand. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again, literally, physically, visibly, bodily, personally. He could come today as good as he could come at any point in history. And the sooner the better. When Jesus Christ came the first time, the Roman world didn't accept him. The Greek world didn't accept him. Even the Jewish world didn't accept him. When he comes again, the governments of the world are not going to willingly accept him. Even Christianity, for the most part, is not going to have a welcome sign hanging out. The preaching and the doctrine of the second coming is almost a stranger in many churches today. And where it is admitted in the family, it's treated like a stepchild. But I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back visibly, literally, bodily, personally to reign upon this earth. And on this rock I stand. Paul Harvey said, "It is the Christian's conviction that Christ shall return and take over after we mortals have made a hopeless mess of self-government." Amen, Paul Harvey. Jesus Christ is coming back. He is going to reign upon the earth. And upon this foundation, I make my stand on this anniversary day. I believe that the church is a called out assembly of born again believers. Now, I'm not talking about that ecumenical ecclesiastical monster that they call the world church, that with the world state are together preparing and setting the stage for the Antichrist. I'm not talking about that world church. I'm talking about a church whose membership is in heaven, whose fellowship is in the Spirit, and whose foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. And on this rock, and on this foundation, I take my stand. I believe that heaven is the eternal home of all the redeemed. The great Methodist preacher John Wesley had a dream one time. And John Wesley relates the story himself, and he says that I dreamed that I was taken to the gates of hell. And I ask, are there any Roman Catholics here? The answer came back, yes. Are there any Baptists here? The same answer, yes. Are there any Methodists here? The same answer, yes. Are there any Presbyterians here? And the answer came back, yes. And on down the line, John Wesley said, I went and I called the roll of all the religions and all the denominations, and every time the answer came back, yes, yes, yes. Then Mr. Wesley says, I was transferred in my dream to the gates of heaven. And I asked the gatekeeper, are there any Roman Catholics here? The answer came back, no. Are there any Baptist? No. Are there any Methodist? No. And on down the line, John Wesley says, I went. And every time the answer came back, no. But I ask, who is that doing all of that rejoicing and praising God and worshiping? And the answer came back, these are those who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Heaven is a place for the redeemed. There won't be any tags up there except the tag of the blood of the Lamb of God for sinners slain. Yesterday morning we went out to the graveyard, which has been my unhappy duty as your pastor, to take some who are charter members, some who joined last year or the year before, some who are not members at all, as was the case yesterday with Mrs. Jenny B. Maddox, the mother of our own Mrs. Mulder. A true mother in Israel, a true Christian person in every sense of the word. And I stood by that open grave, as I've stood so many times, and I said to myself, I believe that Mrs. Maddox is with Jesus. And I said to myself, I believe that I'm going to meet her in heaven, because one day Jesus Christ is coming. And just as sure as we live upon this earth, we're going to live in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, that fixes it right there. If it were not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Swing wide those pearly gates, for this army is going to march in one day. I believe that heaven is the home of all the redeemed. And on this rock and on this foundation, I'm willing to take my stand. Oh, but somebody says, preacher, that's a little bit old-fashioned, isn't it? I'd be first to admit that it's old-fashioned. And so is the sun. But did you ever try to live without it? And so is water old-fashioned, but did you ever try to quench your thirst with anything else that really did the job? So is food old-fashioned, but it's the only thing that satisfies the physical appetite. Yes, it's a little old-fashioned. But you know, on August the 12th, 1932, I was born in an old-fashioned home to old-fashioned parents. In an old-fashioned family. And one day I went to an old-fashioned church, and I heard an old-fashioned preacher who preached an old-fashioned message from an old-fashioned book about an old-fashioned Savior. And I knelt at an old-fashioned altar. And I got a good dose of old-fashioned religion. So I guess you're right in saying that I'm just a little bit old-fashioned. Because I believe in the old-fashioned way. And I'm serving an old-fashioned Savior. And I'm reading an old-fashioned book. And I'm feasting on an old-fashioned table. And one of these days, in an old-fashioned manner, I'm going to an old-fashioned place that was prepared by my old-fashioned Savior. Yeah, I'm an old-fashioned Christian, and I preach an old-fashioned gospel, and on this rock I stand. For if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for Worth Baptist Church, for our many members, for our host of friends today. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for an old-fashioned gospel and an old-fashioned book, an old-fashioned altar, an old-fashioned salvation. Help us to make our stand and reaffirm our faith in this old-fashioned business. Because we know that heaven is the place for all the redeemed. Wherever they come from whatever church, from whatever background, to God be the glory, we shall all be received unto Thee. Dear God, I pray this morning for those who do not know Jesus as their own Savior. Maybe they've had some kind of emotion or some kind of experience, or they've signed a card, or they've joined a church, or they've been baptized, or they've partaken of the Lord's Supper, or they've learned the catechisms. Dear God, if they've never anchored their faith in Christ, if they've never trusted Him, if they've never been born again, if they've never had this old-fashioned experience, may they come today to have it through Jesus Christ our Lord. For those who are seeking a place of worship, may they come and identify with Worth Baptist Church. For those, Heavenly Father, who need a prayer of rededication or a stand of the reaffirmation of their faith, may they come today and reaffirm their faith in Jesus Christ and in Thy Word and in the foundation upon which we stand is our prayer in Jesus' name.